How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com, here with Sam Jam Packard, the great. We just witnessed a pathetic, pathetic game by the Boston Celtics, who saw their seven-game winning streak end at the hands of Darren Collison, Matt Barnes, and Willie Cauley-Stein, who led the Kings to a 108-92 victory against Boston without DeMarcus Cousins, who was serving a one-game suspension. The Celtics had a slew of turnovers, a lot of grossness, a lot of poor defense, and Tyler Zeller even took an alley-oop off his face. So, Sam, that was not the perfect outing for the Boston Celtics.
No, it was complete garbage. It was a dumpster fire. And I understand the excuse of they were on a plane all day yesterday and that they had to adjust to West Coast time. And maybe it was a letdown because of Boogie not being in the game, but it was a terrible just effort throughout all 48 minutes. And despite kind of how bad they were playing because of their opponent, they were actually in this game until probably like 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And then the Kings went on a 16-1 run and really put it away. But I thought the main problem tonight was the offense. It felt like, Isaiah's finished with 26 points and 7 assists, but he really didn't have it going tonight. He felt like he was settling for a lot of threes. He only took 5 field goals that were not three-pointers. It felt like the Kings were doing a really good job of trapping him, and the Celtics really didn't have an answer for that. Jay Crowder had 4 points. Al Horford only had 10 points. When your second leading scorer is Amir Johnson, the big dog, with 14, you know something has gone wrong for the Celtics. So, really, their offense just really couldn't put anything together, and it felt like they were just relying on Isaiah Thomas, and nothing really worked out for them.
Yeah, Terry Rozier had a rough game, 0-for-6 from the field. Jay Crowder had a rough game, 0-for-6 from the field. If either of those guys hit a couple threes, maybe we feel differently about this one. Maybe the Celtics win, but the ball movement wasn't there. This was not the crisp Celtics that we've seen for the recent winning streak and for really most of the last month and a half, however long it's been, that really they've been playing good basketball. It was really disgusting. I mean, in the first half, Horford threw an outlet pass to the Kings. In the fourth quarter, Jonas Jerebko threw an outlet pass to the Kings. Jaylen Brown had a couple moments where he just had no clue what he was doing in transition. He charged into Malachi Richardson, and he kind of looked like a young deer, and he didn't really know what was going on. Got the ball poked away from him in another moment in transition. Gerald Green took some bad shots. Marcus Smart, after hitting a couple threes, hit some bad shots. It just was not an impressive game for the Celtics. I mean, you look at it, the Kings had 4 offensive rebounds. They only took 15 free throws. Like, they just beat the Celtics by hitting shots and scoring easily in other ways. It was not a great performance from the Celtics. When Darren Collison has 26 points on you and Ben McLemore is firing jumpers through the net and Matt Barnes is irritating you with shoves as well as 3 3-pointers and 11 rebounds, it's not a good night. That was a game, and maybe they were due for one. They had a season high 7-game winning streak, but you go into this 4-game road trip and it looks like a trip where they can really win some games. You've got Sacramento and then Portland. Utah obviously is a good team, but then you got Dallas, and I guess Dallas is playing well, but they're not the scariest bunch of talent right now. So really disappointing start to the road trip.
Yeah, and I think anytime you let Matt Barnes go for 14 and 11, it's not a good sign. But I thought they started out perfectly fine. They won the first quarter. They were up 28-19, and then the second unit came in and really just was terrible and allowed the Kings to come back in the game. And it felt like they never recovered from that energy, but I didn't think the defense was too, eventually it got lazy, but I didn't think it was too bad early on. It felt like the Kings were just making a lot of kind of pull up mid range jump shots. But then they just kind of went on this absurd run that was mostly Matt Barnes hitting threes. And it's just, I don't know what you can of course, this is one of those times where you say a good thing they have another game tomorrow, because they have to completely forget about anything that happened in this game and just move on. And hopefully Brad Stevens just plays the clip of that Willie Cauley-Stein dunk over and over and over again, just to make this team so they show up angry and actually execute tomorrow, because this was garbage. This was terrible.
Yeah, it really, 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 really wasn't good. And it was the type of bad where, like, there were a few points when you thought they had it figured out. It was when Marcus Smart was yelling at them in the huddle early in the third quarter. They come out of the timeout, take a quick lead, and then, bam, they give it right up again. And they're down 6 points going into the fourth quarter. And then Isaiah Thomas comes back in the fourth, and he draws a foul, finds one of his teammates, hits a three. And it's like, oh, this is happening again. No, it's not, because pretty soon Willie Stein is going to be dunking on top of your dome. So it just really, really was not a good performance by the Celtics. And I will say this, the Kings, because of suspension to DeMarcus, because of the injury to Ty Lawson, they were like a weird team to match up with. And I'm not saying that the Celtics shouldn't have beat them, but they were just weird. Like, all of a sudden Collison's playing with more confidence than he's probably had in years, because he's the only guy out there. And McLemore's like, hey, it's my turn now. So it was one of those games where guys kind of played above themselves. And I think the Celtics had something to do with that, but part of it, especially early, I thought, was Collison hitting tough mid-range jumpers, McLemore getting going in the mid-range too, and then after that happened, things kind of fell apart for the Celtics. I thought Terry Rozier had an ugly game off the bench. He was not good. There was one possession in particular where Marcus Smart drove to the paint in transition and hit Terry Rozier for an open look at three. And okay, fine, that's cool. He hasn't had a great 3-point shooting season, but I'm okay with him taking the transition three. There was nobody on the Celtics back. Absolutely zero floor balance. The Kings just had a run out. I think it was a dunk right after that. It was just one of those games where the Celtics, they just didn't make smart plays. They weren't playing with intelligence throughout a lot of the game. Like after Jerebko threw an outlet pass to Collison, and the Kings scored. Brad Stevens called a timeout and was probably like, "Take care of the ball, motherfuckers," or whatever word.
I'm Brad sure that's Stevens exactly said. What he said.
It probably is not motherfuckers, but he was probably telling him to take care of the ball. And then Horford tries to throw like the easiest pass 3 feet to his left to Marcus Smart, and the Kings steal it and go in for a layup. It was just one of those games where the Celtics. Less intelligent players like Gerald Green were making unintelligent plays, and then their more intelligent players like Al Horford were also making unintelligent plays. So, just a gross one. Just a gross, 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 gross showing.
I think it really comes back to the turnovers. It's just we haven't seen the Celtics make this many turnovers this consistently over this, like, over 48 minutes in. It seemed like every single player on the team was responsible for some sort of dumb decision. I mean, if you look at it, Jaylen Brown, 3 turnovers, Horford, 3 turnovers, Isaiah Thomas, 3 turnovers, Marcus Smart, 3 turnovers. Their assist to turnover ratio was a perfect 1, which really goes to show you that their ball movement was not great. And then another stat that I thought was interesting, this is tweeted out from Taylor Snow, that this was the fewest field goal makes with 29 in attempts, 73 that the Celtics have had this entire season. So it really goes to show you that they were not, when they didn't decide to give the ball directly to the Kings, they were just not moving the ball that well and getting any good looks that resulted in shots. So crappy game. And I think in order to cheer ourselves up, we're going to have to move on to talking about Charles Oakley, because this is just a travesty.
Okay, hot question. Should the Celtics sign Charles Oakley?
I think they got to sign him to a 10-day. At least post his bail.
I mean, that was incredible. So if any of you guys missed it, Charles Oakley was apparently heckling Knicks owner James Dolan at a game. And Oakley is known as like the toughest guy of all time. There's a legendary story where apparently he once snatched a baby out of some guy's hands.
What?
So that he could then slap said guy across the face, which is just a stunning move. But after Oak screamed at James Dolan, they surrounded Oak with like 10 security guards, and Oak poked one in the face, and that guy was like, "I've had enough of this shit."
It wasn't even a poke. He was just like, basically punched him in the face, but with one finger. It was the most demonstrative poke I've ever seen. It was badass.
And that guy was like, I want none of this. I don't care if I'm paid to do this crap. I am not facing Charles Oakley. And it took like 9 or 10 security guards to escort Oakley out of the building.
And I'm pretty sure I saw him like try to take his watch off so he could be better prepared to fight. Just as like an all-time video. And this is all happening courtside, like in the middle of a Knicks game. It was amazing.
I'm pretty convinced after watching that Charles Oakley would still be the best rebounder on the Celtics.
Well, yeah, on this Celtics team, he absolutely has showed more heart tonight than the entire Celtics team combined. And it was fun just seeing the kind of current day players get involved. LeBron James had an Instagram with a picture of Oakley and with the hashtag legend underneath. I'm pretty sure I saw Wilson Chandler just saying like Team Oak. Like there's just been fun seeing the outpouring of support and just like how much of a garbage organization are the Knicks that this isn't even like when your former star gets arrested courtside, and that's not even like the top three worst storyline going on with your team this season.
What's crazy about it was they put out a press release. What's crazy? The whole thing's crazy. but they put out a press release that was like stunningly, stunningly spun in favor of the Knicks. And it said something like, "We hope Charles Oakley gets help." And basically, it was a big middle finger at Charles Oakley. Probably had James Dolan's fingerprints all over it. That press release. So I think Knicks fans need to come together, bail him out, and I think like there are reports that he's going to be charged with 3 misdemeanors, I believe. he needs to get off. Anytime you are just screaming at James Dolan as a former Knick and who's probably a Knicks fan now, I think it's warranted. Knicks fans have gone through shit, and Knicks players who played for that franchise have gone through all sorts of shit. So if they want to let off a little steam, yell at James Dolan for running the most dysfunctional franchise that continues to stoop to new lows. There was a great tweet earlier tonight about Jeff Hornacek saying that people warned him throughout this, before he took the Knicks job, that it would be a franchise that is followed by like
distractions.
Yeah, distractions. And he said, yeah, and it's lived up to that reputation. And it's like the coach is saying this on the record, and it's obvious that he's right, but nobody says that. Like, that franchise is a joke. Always has been a joke. Not always. Back when Phil Jackson was a player, I guess, things were good. But it's been a long time since that franchise was not a joke. And Charles Oakley, man, I think we're all Team Oakley on this one.
Yeah, there's already
people. Although I will say I do not support beating up security guards who are just trying to do their job.
Yeah, I guess so. But there's already T-shirts available if anyone wants them. I'm sure you can find some Team Oak T-shirts. I just wanted to point out that the New York Daily News has a outstanding headline right now, or for tomorrow's paper, is a picture of Oakley with his arms on the or his hands on the neck of a security guard, and the headline is "Charles is charged," which is just fantastic stuff from the New York Daily Papers. They're just they never fail.
Yeah, that one was impressive. Charles Oakley, man, what a legend, what a tough guy, what an enforcer. Celtics could have used him to put a little hard screen into Matt Barnes or Darren Collison, foul the crap out of him. That's not really how Brad Stevens runs things, but, you know, maybe sign Oak on a 10-day. If they signed Oak, who would be the other guy, physical man from the past, you would want the Celtics to sign for a 10-day contract?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like you got to bring Perk back. I feel like with his history with the team, his kind of angry scowl, I feel like if you really wanted to add some toughness, he would be perfect.
But I feel like Oakley, like people, not that people don't respect Perk, people respect Perk and his toughness. I don't think he still has that persona anymore around. Like he was so bad for the last few years that people don't really look at him like that anymore, I guess. But
people are still afraid of Oak because Oak will still beat you on the court side at next game.
Oak will destroy you, even if you're a security guard just trying to do your job. Oak does not give a fuck. And that's a good place to end this because the Celtics did not give a fuck either. That was nice. I'm going to pat myself on the back for that little segue.
That was well done.
We'll keep this short and sweet because the Celtics did not play hard. There was not much to learn from that game except that the Celtics did not play well in any way, shape, or form. Amir Johnson, 6-for-7 from the field, 14 points, but nobody else really had a game to discuss. And, yeah, that's about it. Go follow us. Locked On Celtics. Search for the Locked On Celtics podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever else. Follow us, subscribe to us, give us a 5-star rating. We will give you great podcasts 5 days a week. And even after crappy performances like that, we aim to bring a little joy to your life. With little Oakley talk, little talk about Tyler Zeller taking a pass off the face. We come with the good stuff. So give us a 5-star rating. And yeah, that's it. That's all she wrote for this episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.